Welcome to Palm Vista Community Church as we continue our series in the Gospel of John. And the Apostle John, I'm a little bit hot, at least in my ears, so whoever's controlling, I'm very hot, thank you. The Apostle John wrote this Gospel probably sometime after 70 AD. Think about this. He wrote this gospel some 40 years after the events took place that he's writing about. So the Apostle John, John the Evangelist, is telling us about Jesus' ministry on the earth, which happened around 33 AD. He probably writes this gospel after 70 AD. Some people think as late as 85 AD. That's a long time. And he wrote it to a world that was filled with Jews who had been converted and increasingly Gentiles who had been converted and were largely Greek-speaking. And he wrote to them to tell them about Jesus Christ. In fact, John gives us one of the most forceful views of Jesus as the eternal God in human flesh. For that reason, we've entitled the series, The Eternal God with Dusty Feet on the screen. The Eternal God with Dusty Feet. He wrote this so that we might know Jesus. And knowing Jesus and believing in Jesus, we would have life in His name. That is the purpose statement for this gospel. And so Jesus this morning invites us all, he's speaking to us all, to find eternal life. As a matter of fact, we've entitled this message, Lost and Found. Lost and Found. And our text is John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. I'm still a little hot in my ears, but it just could be my ears. John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Let's read it together. You silently, me out loud. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked to him, at him, Simon, and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. We all are familiar with the childhood game hide and seek. It's very simple. One child closes his eyes and counts to 100. And the other children run around and hide. And when that child who has been counting to 100 is done counting, he opens his eyes and he says, "Ready or not, here I come." In our text, we have a divine game of hide and seek, which began in the garden when Adam rebelled against God and foolishly tried to hide from God. And God said to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" Knowing exactly where Adam was. And God asked you that same question this morning. Where are you? But he knows exactly where you are. Like Adam, we can find ourselves hiding from God because we have been seeking idols, gods, things that we hope will give us the very life that only God can give us. So, where are you this morning? God sees you. God loves you. And God, unlike Adam, unlike those children playing hide and seek who don't know where everyone is, knowing where we are, God came down to earth to seek us in order to save us. That is the main argument of this text. Seek the one who sought you to save you. Seek the one who sought you to save you. We are lost. And if we're Christians, we can say, but now we've been found. We were lost, now we've been found. If you are not a Christian and you still feel lost, here's the good news. There is one who has come to find you and to bring you home. In the children's game of hide and seek, oftentimes an added feature is if you can make it to home base without that person finding you or tagging you, then you are part of the winning team. Jesus finds you to bring you home. Jesus is the one who sought you. Jesus is the one who saved you, dear Christian. And he's calling us here in this text to seek him. So, but what are you seeking? That's the question. It's the question God has for you. That's the question hanging over this text and hanging over our lives. So, three simple points in the text. To make the main point on the screen, seek the one who sought you to save you. We're going to look at why. The first point will be because Jesus sought us. The second point will be because Jesus reveals himself to us. And the third point will be because Jesus makes us his own. Point one, seek the one who sought you to save you. Jesus sought us. Look at the text. Look at verses 35 to 37 again on the screen. The next day, which is the day after the one that David preached last week, the day after John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He sought us to save us." There's the proof. The next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said again, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Our text begins with two disciples following John the Baptist, and it ends with these two disciples following Jesus Christ. This text tells us that one of those disciples was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Tradition tells us that the other disciple was most probably John the Evangelist. John, the writer of the gospel. There are many, many proofs of that. So for the sake of argument, we have Andrew, Simon's brother, and we've got John, the author of this gospel. They are John the Baptist's disciples, and when John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," they start following Jesus. They didn't abandon John the Baptist. They believed John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist had been preaching, "There's one coming who is greater than me. I'm not able to untie his sandals, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When he comes, follow him." And so they're saying, "Okay, I believe you, John the Baptist. It's been nice being your disciple. I'm now a disciple of Jesus." In that day, in first century Palestine, literally, disciples would follow or walk behind the one they had chosen as their teacher. Here's my question for you. Who are you following? Who have you chosen as your teacher? What online site do you go to? What YouTube video do you pull up? What do you type into the search engine of your computer to figure out how to do life? We all use it to do projects at home, and that's fine. But when you type in, "How do I live my life? Who will I follow? What philosophy of life will I live by? How will I live my life? What is life all about? Who are you following? Whose teaching have you chosen for your life? Oh, friend, there is only one to follow, the one who has life. And his teaching here in this word. So when Jesus sought them, he called them. When Jesus seeks us, he calls us, and he's calling you right now. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I believe he's going to reveal himself to you, because point two, that's another reason why we should seek him. Jesus reveals himself to you. Jesus reveals himself to you. Why do we seek him? Because he sought us to save us. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why do we seek him? Because he reveals himself to us. Look at verse 38 through 41 on the screen. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" This entire narrative turns right around that question. What are you seeking? Asked it of the first century disciples, he's asking it of the 21st century disciples. What are you seeking? Why are you here? And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Interesting. What are you seeking? Where are you staying? He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, 4 p.m. One of the two who heard Jesus speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So in the text, when Jesus asked them, "What are you seeking?" he's asking them what he asks us. Do you know me? Do you know the one you're following? What are you seeking? Who do you think I am? These two disciples probably were thinking, that's a conversation we'd like to have in private. Where are you staying? I'm not ready to have that conversation here on the street with you. You know, Jesus had been walking by. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus stops. He sees them following. It's in public. He says, "What are you seeking?" He's calling their hearts. He's calling your heart right now. What are you seeking? And then they said, "Where are you staying?" But don't miss this, because this word "staying" up on the screen. Verse 38 at the end there. Where are you staying? Verse 39. He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying. You see that word? Circle that word. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. This word "stay," translated "stayed" here, is elsewhere in John translated "abide" or "abides." And it's a key, key word in the Gospel of John. In this case, it's referring to Jesus' lodging. But later on, particularly in the farewell discourse, it's going to talk about abiding in Christ, the one who abides in Christ. This is a big word, abiding in Christ, being his disciple. In one sense, he's saying, what are you seeking? Where are you staying? Where do you abide? Where do you live? What's your address? What's your identity? And there's definitely this play on words that John, writing some 40 years later, is wanting his audience to ask themselves, well, who am I seeking? Who am I following? And where am I staying? What's my address? What's my address? And Jesus says to them, put it back up there in the middle of verse 39. And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Come and you will see. What Jesus is saying here is that I'm going to reveal myself to you. He welcomed them at 4 p.m. Tradition back then said that after 4 p.m., you didn't leave someone's house. You didn't begin a major event because people walked everywhere they went because of darkness. It wasn't safe, maybe. So by 4 p.m., pretty much tradition said Jesus would have fed them, had table fellowship with them, and maybe, quite frankly, given them a place to live, stay overnight. So imagine these two disciples talking with Jesus all night long, and Jesus is preaching to them and teaching them from the Old Testament, I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the anointed one. How can you say that, Al? Well, look at verse 41. Here's the proof. He, this is now Andrew, first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. How did he know that? Because Jesus taught it to him. Because Jesus gave him life. Because Jesus called him. Because Jesus first sought them to save them and then revealed himself to them. And so he said, seek me. So Andrew goes to Peter and said, listen, he found me and now I found you. You see that in 41? He first found his own brother on the screen. He first found his own brother and said to him, we have found. He didn't find Jesus. Jesus found him, but he did find Jesus. Suddenly he understood, oh, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. Peter, my dear brother, Simon, the son of John, come, let me introduce you to the Messiah. Tons of applications, but here's one. Jesus reveals himself to you that you might find him so that you can introduce your friends and your family to him. Early example of that in Scripture. And when Andrew said to Simon, we found the Messiah, which is translated as Christ, he probably did not have a full understanding of it at that point. Neither did John, who was standing right next to him. 40 plus years later, when John's writing the Gospel of John, he has a much greater understanding of what it meant that Jesus was Messiah and Christ. But Andrew knew this. There's been a hope in my people for thousands of years. Since Moses first penned the Old Testament, at that time, that would have been 1,500 years earlier. And that hope has been of an anointed one. David preached it last week. The prophet, the anointed prophet, like Moses, but greater than Moses. The anointed king, like David, but greater than David. The anointed priest, like Aaron, but greater than Aaron. And there's this anointed one that's going to come, and he's going to save us. Because we are lost, and we must be found. And he's saying, Peter, Simon, I don't know a lot about this, but this is the guy. This is the guy. Oh, friends, Jesus finds us by calling us. Listen to me. Hear God's voice. Jesus calls us to seek him who sought us to save us, and then to seek others, to introduce them to the one who sought us to save us from the sadness of death into the joy of eternal life. I'm going to say that again. Jesus calls us that we might seek him who first sought us to save us. And then he calls us to seek others, to introduce them to the one who sought us to save us from what? From the sadness of death. Miami is a brilliant city filled with walking dead. They look beautiful. They can dance well. Some of us better than others. They party. Their cars are beautiful, but they're dead. Calls us to introduce them to the one who can give them true life. The joy of life. Joy and life are key themes of this gospel. They were key themes of 1 John and that we preached just recently. They're key biblical themes. Don't you understand that the story of the Bible is God seeking the lost, those his people, the elect, who are lost, who are dead, who are sad, who are broken, and he comes and he seeks them. He takes on flesh. He conquers death's sting on the cross. Seek the one who did that because he reveals himself to you. And finally, why do we seek the one who sought us to save us? Not just because he
sought us first, not just because he reveals himself to us, but three, because Jesus makes us his own. Point three, Jesus makes you his own. You were lost without a home. You were an orphan with no hope. And Jesus seeks you, and he makes you his home, his own, and he brings you home. Look at verse 42. He, Andrew, brought him, Simon, his brother, to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John." How did Jesus know that? Because Jesus sees right into us. Jesus sees us. He knows us. No one had to tell Jesus that this was Simon, the son of John. He knew it. He knew Simon. He knows us. He sees right into our souls. Now watch. "You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Jesus renamed Simon, bringing him into his family and making him his own. We're Christians. We've been renamed. We're no longer our own selves. We're no longer what the world says, what sin says, what other people say. We are what God says we are. We are Christians. Jesus named Peter what he would become before he was what God had made him to be. He would be the rock. It would take a while. But Jesus created Peter, and Jesus called Peter to be what Jesus created him to be. Don't you see that's the same with you? He created you, my friend. He brought you from wherever you came, and it was a circuitous route, and I'm sorry for the suffering of it, but the one who created you, the one who sought you to save you and is revealing himself to you right this second, he makes you his own. You will be what he's called you to be because he's faithful to his word. And throughout Scripture, church, this is not unusual. Abraham, his original name was Abram. God calls him, and he says, "You know what? Your name is no longer Abram, it's Abraham." Jacob, the deceiver, God calls him. He says, "Your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel." And we, deceivers, sinners, unfaithful people, he says, "That's not your name anymore. It's my son, my daughter. And I will make you what I've created you to be. Trust me. Trust me." And that's really the appeal this morning. Seek the one who sought you to save you. Can you hear God ask you this question? Where are you? What are you seeking? Where are you hiding, trying to find life? I encourage you today, sometime today, make a list of those things, those false gods that you are following to find the life you are seeking. Maybe it's control. Maybe it's certainty. Maybe it's fame. Maybe it's fortune. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's leisure. For some, it's peace. For others, it's power. Some, it's safety. Security, validation, vindication, relational stability. You're lost if that's your God. There are good things that God gives us, but they're not God. You are worshiping the creation rather than the creator. You are worshiping the gift rather than the gift giver. And it ends in death. Sorry, death. Follow Jesus to where he's staying. He bids you to follow. He says, "Come and you will see. I've chosen you. Come on. I'm going to show you now. I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to set you free from the bondage of sin and death." Are you following Jesus? Listen, to follow Jesus, you must go to where he stays. And where he stays is where he reveals himself. And where he reveals himself, my friends, is right here. It's not in your head. some website with some crazy ideas. I loved your prayer, Seth. We're in a season of just being off. Deception has always been with us in this world. It seems like it's peaking right now. Just some crazy stuff out there. It's okay. God's not nervous. Got his word here. We got to get in here. We got to engage God's word as God's spirit draws us, because Christ has sought us to save us, and we are to seek him. Listen, engage God's word. Grow groups is a great way to do it. It's not the only way. Read the Bible on your own in the mornings. Find someone to read the Bible with. Do a one-on-one Bible reading that the youth have been going through, and men, we did at the end of last year. Find someone. Get in a group. Read the word every day, because your mind is tempted to just wander, prone to wander. And God's word centers us back in who he is. Who are you seeking? Study what it means for Jesus to be the Lamb of God, the anointed one, who came to take away the sin of the world. Study what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ. And then study what it means for Jesus to make you his own and bring you home. He recreates you to be who he calls you to be. Stop hiding. Start seeking the one who first sought you to save you. Let's pray. Worship team, would you join me, please? Lord, I thank you for this truth. I thank you that you sought me before I ever sought you or ever wanted to seek you. You sought me when I was your enemy, running as fast as I could away from you, hiding from you in my foolish little world, my foolish little idolatries. You sought me to save me. Lord, I pray that you would open up the eyes of those listening to me this morning, whether online or here in person. Lord, that we would seek you. Because you first sought us, we would seek you. Because you reveal yourself to us, we would seek you, because you make us your own. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.